Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
All right, Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, for lo, you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation, I will trust, I will not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my might, he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Gracious and almighty God, Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the verse I'm going to focus on is verse 3. I think that's the one that really stood out to me, drawing from the wells of salvation. I love that imagery. So to kind of get us into that, think of a time when you were incredibly thirsty. Think about what it's like to be thirsty and just how your body feels, how your mouth's dry. Maybe it's after you've been working out or working outside or something like that. You just a time when you're thirsty. Now imagine if you lived in someplace like Israel, someplace that was very dry, even a desert-like, and what it would mean to be able to get water, to be able to get refreshment in that way, what it's like to be thirsty, what it's like to be thirsty in a dry climate, and all of that stuff. And I want you to think about that to kind of get into this. Dr. John Oswalt, in his commentary on Isaiah, in reference to verse 3, says this. I think it's a good imagery. The water, what water is to the parched earth, God's delivering presence is to the one oppressed by sin and bondage. Well, it was well said. What water is to the parched earth, God's delivering presence is to the one oppressed by sin and bondage. So I'd change it up a little bit, make it even more personal. What water is to the parched earth, God's delivering presence is to us who are oppressed by sin and bondage. We need God. And what water is to the parched earth, God's presence is to us. The background for this particular part of Isaiah, by the way, is the Jewish people are in exile. Let's talk about exile, chapters 7 through 11 is talking about exile and the things that are going on around it. Exile, just to give you a quick historical background again. Here's a map. It's not the best looking map, but it gives you a little bit of an idea. Israel, you may remember, after King Solomon broke into two different nations, the northern nation that was called Israel, and that's in the blue there, and the southern nation that's in the yellow is called Judah. And they went through, and they had varying degrees of faithfulness, but they really, as a whole, turned away from God. And it wasn't just that they said, we will not worship Yahweh anymore. It's that they wanted to worship Yahweh, or God, and everything else. They wanted to worship all the other idols. They wanted to put their trust in the idols of the land, or put their trust in the political and military procedures that were going on around them. They wanted to trust other things to take care of them. And I think that's appropriate for us to think about, because a lot of times in our lives, it's not that we say, well, I'm not going to worship God anymore. It's that we try to find our life in other things. We think we look to other idols to help us. It's not that we have like little gods, little statues we burn incense to, but we do have other things that take God's place in our lives. Things that we look to give us life and meaning and happiness. I don't know, money and stuff, gifts and food and property and position and work, all of that stuff. And we depend upon these things to give us meaning and to save us and to give us that sort of thing. Well, Israel did that. They turned to other idols and they weren't faithful. And because of that, God's judgment was to turn them over to nations that came in and destroyed them. And so for the northern kingdom in 722 BC, they fell to Assyria. And then Judah, the southern kingdom, in 586 BC fell to Babylon. And they were sent into exile. What that means is the foreign power comes in and just utterly destroys you, takes your people, the ones they don't kill, and ships them out around the known empire. So you don't get to live in your homeland anymore, and you're all scattered all over the place. They were put into exile. And so Isaiah is talking about this. It's foretold and it's warned about in Isaiah, and there's promises about what's going to happen. And then there's promises of what God is going to do when they are in captivity. One of the interesting things that happens is God doesn't just punish them and forget them. This is an important thing. God doesn't just punish them and forget them. Which, by the way, if you're a parent, if you've raised kids, I don't know if you did time out or if you do time out. Have you ever forgotten your kid in time out? Has that ever happened? Like 3 hours later, it's like, oh yeah, yeah. Next time you'll listen, right? Like, totally meant to leave you there. Wasn't appreciating the quiet house on my own. This was on purpose. And so God doesn't forget Israel. It doesn't forget the Jewish people and punish me. He doesn't leave them in exile. And so you start to hear in Isaiah about God is going to call them back. He's going to prepare a highway for them to return, all of that stuff. And then in Isaiah 11:11, you get verses like this. On that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that's left of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Ethiopia, from Elam, from Shinar and Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. So you get this picture from all these countries. God is calling them back from exile, and they return. And so when they return, chapter 12 is written from the perspective of people coming back. People coming back. And not only have they come back, but they come back and they praise God. So verse 1 just starts, you know, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. And then verse 2 says, for surely God is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. They'd reached that point where they finally understood, it's only the Lord will save me. You know, that if God doesn't save me, it's not going to happen. They depend upon the Lord to save them. And then notice it says, the Lord is my salvation. It doesn't simply say, the Lord will give me salvation. The Lord is salvation. The Lord is my salvation. And now they have this beautiful relationship, and it leads into that awesome verse in 12:3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I think this is just wonderful imagery. With joy you'll draw water from the wells of salvation. Again, imagine being thirsty, needing water, being in a desert area, and just what water means to you. And so that's the analogy, that's the visual that you're getting of drawing water from the wells of salvation. Just like Dr. Oswald said, what water is to the parched earth, God's delivering presence is to the one oppressed by sin and bondage. So for these people who have been delivered and brought back, God's presence is like water for them, like water to the thirsty soul or water to the parched earth. And it says, now with joy you can draw water from the wells of salvation. This actually brought to mind another verse I enjoy. It's one that I've prayed over a lot of times in Lent. We'll pray this, and it's Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Again, you get these visuals of your soul thirsting and your flesh longing for the Lord. And it's receiving this presence of God is like your thirsty soul receiving refreshment. It's a beautiful and a powerful picture. And I wonder, have you been in a dry and weary land spiritually? You know, maybe today you're in that spot where you feel like you're in a dry and weary land. Is your soul thirsty? Is your soul thirsty? Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been really thirsty, but you didn't realize you were thirsty? Has that happened to you? And then you like start to take a drink and you like down an entire glass of water and you're like, oh, I guess I was thirsty. Has anyone else had that experience, or is it just strange Andy? Okay, so if you haven't, then realize this happens to some people. A weird thing. Like you're like, oh, I didn't realize I was incredibly thirsty. And you fill up another glass of water and down. It's an unusual thing that you can be thirsty and not even realize it. I like to garden, and I've brought this up once or twice. I grow hot peppers, and I start them inside early in the winter to get them have enough days for a growing season. And so when you start them inside, they're in these little pots with a little bit of dirt, and they can dry out pretty quick. In fact, if you lose track of them, they can dry out a lot. And one of the pepper wilts, and then you get this like hard dirt thing. And one of the fascinating things, it's a strange thing, is the most dry dirt, once it's like completely dried out, it doesn't take in water at first. This is the weirdest thing. The soil that needs water the most doesn't take it in that well. water will either roll off it or it'll just pass right through it. The thirstiest soil has trouble retaining water. It's a strange thing. So what's the solution? What do you need to do? Well, you soak it. They have a tray full of water, and I'll put the pots in it, and it needs to soak in there. And after it soaks for a while, once it starts to get wet, it starts to be able to take water in. Is your soul thirsty? Is it possible your soul is thirsty and you don't realize it? And it's going to take more than just a little sip. But maybe you need to just soak in God's presence for a bit. Maybe you just need to soak in prayer. God is our salvation. Our souls thirst for the Lord like a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And here we're promised in chapter 12, verse 3, promised that we'll be able to draw from the wells or from the springs of salvation. It actually brought to mind John chapter 7. Jesus is talking, and he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, let the one who believes in me drink. As Scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now, he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. It's a fascinating thing. Did you catch that? Is your soul thirsty? For those who believe in Christ, we are given the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus says, this is a river of living water that bursts forth in you, drawing from the springs of salvation for us. What's referred to in Isaiah 12:3, drawing from the springs of salvation for us, comes in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we get refreshed. God's presence is available to you and to me. God's presence is available to us just like water for our thirsty souls, just like living in a dry and weary land where there is no water, where we can receive that water in the presence of the Holy Spirit, God himself being with us. In Advent, we're talking about anticipation. So then I'll ask you, do you anticipate? Do you anticipate that God the Holy Spirit will actually meet you? Do you anticipate that God the Holy Spirit will actually be present in your life and you'll be able to experience in your soul, your weary and thirsty soul will be able to have refreshment from God? Do you anticipate? Because that's what Scripture seems to point to, that's a real thing for us. Do you anticipate the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit? Shouldn't we expect that? Shouldn't we anticipate that? Shouldn't we expect that our dry and thirsty souls would encounter the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit? And maybe it's time that you asked. Maybe it's time that you set aside some time to just soak in the Spirit. Maybe you're so thirsty you don't even know it. Maybe you just need to take in this refreshment. You know, I shared this story a while back, but it just keeps sticking with me. I was at the New Room conference in the fall, and one of the speakers, whose name was Kevin, was talking about a friend of his. He's a pastor, and his friend was named Kevin as well, so he called him Kev the Barber. And Kev the Barber was given the gift, the spiritual gift of intercession. So he just started praying for people. And there's all these cool stories about this Kev the Barber praying for people and God working in his life and God doing things in Kev's life and through him to other people. And all of this amazing kind of stuff, this Holy Spirit working in him and through him and for him, all of this stuff. And as he told these amazing stories about Kev's encounters, he said something that I thought was really challenging and really hit home for me. He said, when you hear these stories about the Holy Spirit working in people's lives, he said, there should be a part of you that says, well, wait a second, that's not fair that Kev the Barber gets it, but I don't have it. He said, you should expect it too. The Holy Spirit is available for all who believe in Christ. Do you desire more of God? And I found myself desiring more and more of God, and it's impacted my prayer time and impacted stuff. We've had this meeting on Tuesday nights where we've gotten together to talk about revival and just kind of sat and listened to some things and then circled up and prayed afterwards. And it's of all the lessons and classes and things I've done, I've prepared the least amount for it, and God has showed up in a really cool way. Maybe I just don't need to prepare at all anymore. I don't know. Maybe that's the lesson. But it's just been such a blessing to have God show up in our conversation and what people notice from stuff. It's been a really cool thing. Do you desire more of God? And things like that are just part of, I desire more of God, and I'm finding God showing up. You know, in this time of year when we anticipate and celebrate the arrival of God on earth, maybe we ought to expect that God really did come to be with us. That is the Christmas message. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, what if God really did come to be with us? It's time for our thirsty souls to draw from the wells of salvation and to do it with joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.